Hello and a very warm welcome to worship here at Penrith Methodist Church. Well, here we are on YouTube again as we enter yet another period of lockdown and we're unable to physically meet together. Today is Remembrance Sunday and of course we wanted to do something to mark this day. Did you know that our own church here has been really active in serving our communities over two world wars? In World War I, the Ulswater Room was used as a hospital. And then in World War II, the room was used as a canteen serving hot meals to service personnel. The heart and the desire that we have in this church to reach out to our communities is something that's been alive and well for a long time. You know, we come to Remembrance Sunday with all sorts of emotions. And yet, I hope that whatever our feelings, each of us finds the time now to be still and think about our world. Think about what we feel and to lift it all up to the God who said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Let's commit this time to God, shall we? Let's pray. God, we come to this time knowing that you are an amazing God. On a day that we think about wars and conflicts and the unbearable cost that they have on families, communities and nations, we thank you, God, that you gift us with your perfect peace. You're a God who wants to bless us and see us flourish and take delight in your world and in each other. Thank you that even when governments or causes let us down, you never do. Thank you that when all else fails, you will always be our stronghold and a safe refuge. So please bless our time together now, and may it be a blessing to you. For we pray in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer and our Saviour. Amen. Now the first song that we're going to have today is one by Bethel Music, and is simply called Peace.
When my mind is like a battlefield and my heart is overcome by fear, and hope seems like a ship that's lost at sea, my enemies on every side, and I'm tempted to run and hide, your gentle whisper reaches out to me.
Remember.
Remember Ypres, the Somme, Mons and Verdun. Remember the Western Desert, El Alamein, the Normandy beaches. Remember Dresden, Hiroshima and the Burma Road. Remember Korea, the Falkland Islands, Northern Ireland, Iraq, and so many other nations.
Remember the courage, the comradeship, the ingenuity, the spirit of working together for a common cause, the planning together for a better world that would come with peace.
Remember the call to arms, the patriotic songs, the posters, the partings which were such sweet sorrow, the sound of the drum, the skirl of the pipe, the prayer that God would be on our side.
Remember the carnage, the colossal, stinking, bloody horror, the ripped bodies on the wire, the platoons of which only 3 out of 40 lived.
Remember the widows of 70 years and more, the old men and women living now who never knew their fathers. Remember the love that was lost, the wisdom wasted, the minds that were twisted and the limbs distorted.
Remember the wealth of nations being fired from guns, dropped as bombs, smashing schools, homes, factories, churches and hospitals, ruining crops, destroying trees. Remember the hope of a whole generation left to evaporate in the sands of a desert or sink forever in the oceans of the world.
Remember this day the children who will die while the world spends its wealth on arms. The young who have no work while others in their generation are trained to fight.
The ambulances that will not come while we argue about how many troop carriers we need. The research into disease left neglected while brilliant minds are used to study more effective destruction.
Remember the Christ who asked us to remember him.
The weight of a snowflake. Tell me the weight of a snowflake, the colt asked the dove. Nothing more than nothing, was the answer. In that case, let me tell you a marvellous story, said the colt. I was sitting on a branch of a fir close to its trunk when it began to snow. Not heavily, not in a raging blizzard, no, just like a dream, without a sound and without any violence. Since I did not have anything to do, I started counting the snowflakes. I counted 3,741,952. When the 3,741,953rd dropped onto the branch, nothing more than nothing, as you say, the branch broke off. Having said that, the colt flew away. The dove, an authority on the matter of peace, thought about the story for a while and finally said to herself, perhaps there is only one person's voice lacking for peace to finally come to the world.
The reading is Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves.
Reading from the letter of James, chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires that war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realise that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honour.
Remembering. That's what we're asked to do by wearing a poppy and taking part in services like this. We even call it Remembrance Sunday. I wonder what you remember and think about on days like this. For some of us, we look back in history at the last two world wars especially, and we remember the sacrifices of those who died. We remember their bravery, and we feel immense pride and gratitude for the giving of their lives. But others will have different feelings. Some will remember a sense of loss and the tragedy of broken families. They recall the grief and the mourning of children with no parents or parents with no children. Others will simply recoil at the tragedy of it all and remember in hopelessness how broken we all are as a species. It's thought that about 17 million people died as a result of World War I and over 60 million as a result of World War II. But you know, since the Second World War, there's also been the Korean War, the invasion of Cuba, the Vietnam War. There have been wars in the Dominican Republic, Lebanon, Grenada, Panama, Somalia, Haiti, Bosnia and Kosovo. There were the two Gulf Wars and wars in Afghanistan, Libya and Syria. And that's not to mention the countless civil wars that have raged in Yemen and other parts of Africa and South America. It's thought that over 200 million people have lost their lives in conflicts in the last 100 years or so. And you can't help feeling sickened by it all, at the tragic loss of life, of all that waste. Remembrance Sunday can leave you with a sense of despair. I have to say that I personally struggle with this day. On the one hand, of course, I'm thankful for the sacrifices made by so many that mean that I now live, in theory at least, in a peaceful democracy. But then I cannot summon up any sense of celebration or glory or pride for wars that have left families torn apart and people homeless, and that's created orphans and fear and poverty and refugees. So what on earth can we say today that will make any sense or bring all of our different emotions and feelings together into something that we can all buy into? How do we respond as a congregation of such diverse people? In Old Testament times, war was an accepted part of everyday life. There was always war. And the authors of the Old Testament wrote God into it all too. And then we come to the New Testament, and the Roman Empire was at its height as it occupied nation after nation to gain world dominance. And into this backdrop, God comes as Jesus. Jesus stands up against all the hate and the violence and the control that exists. He told us that his was a new kingdom, one of peace and reconciliation. He told us to turn the other cheek and to love our enemies. He himself did not rise up against those who sought to hurt and to kill him, but instead yielded to their violence and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that blessed are those who are subservient, those who seek mercy, those who work for peace. So what then can we say about war? How do we square the teachings of Jesus with what has been happening in our world since the beginning of time? What's war all about? In the passage that we read from James, maybe we get to the heart of the problem. Now, James is talking about disputes in the church, but what he says can be applied to most conflicts in general. The problem, James says, the root of war is found within us. The enemy is not the other person. No, the real enemy is what lies inside each one of us. You can't always get what you want, so sang the Rolling Stones. But the problem is that inside all of us is an inherent desire to do just that, to get exactly what we want. And the Bible has a word for this. It's a word that we don't like too much. The word is sin. Envy, pride, greed, lust for something that you don't have, those are four of the seven deadly sins as taught by our early Christian traditions. And those are what James is talking about in the passage that we read. These are the enemy that lies in each of us. And whilst the reasons for war and conflicts are often hugely complex, at their very heart lies our own selfishness and our desire to get what we want at all costs. And this problem with the human condition goes right back to Adam and Eve. We read that account from Genesis 3 of Adam and Eve right at the beginning of life being driven to take what they had been told they could not have. Now, that's not so much a story about being tempted by a talking snake, but a tale to depict what lies at the heart of all of us. A desire for more than we have or need, to want what we do not have. James says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, and so you fight and you wage war to take it away from them. And so we find that one person or one country wants its own way, or desires what it hasn't got, and then by its own strength and power forces that on someone else or some other country. Even if it results in people getting killed and families and economies being destroyed. And you know, the sad truth is that actually this isn't something that's limited to crackpot dictators or power-hungry empires. You and I are no different. If we are honest, how often do we try and get our own way or desire what we don't have or envy what somebody else does have? Or push our will onto others, or retaliate if we don't get what we want or what we see as being right. Maybe we're all guilty of adopting my way or the highway, of not being prepared to live with different opinions, or accepting things even if they seem unfair to us. So what then, I wonder, is the antidote? What hope can there be for us or for our world? The antidote must be in us somehow changing our nature of wanting what we don't have or forcing our desires on others. In short, what we need, of course, is a change of heart. Yes, our hearts really do need to change. But the problem is, though, is that we're incapable of changing our own hearts. The Apostle Paul said that he wanted to do what was right, but there was this power at work within him that meant he always ended up doing what was wrong. Who will free me from this life? He asks in Romans 7. But then he goes on to say, thank God, the answer is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, there's only one person who's able to change our hearts, and his name is Jesus. James goes on to say this, humble yourselves before God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. The solution to our sinful nature, the way to changing our heart, is found only in drawing near to God through Jesus. Only by submitting to God's heart and allowing God's heart to change us and transform us can we know the life that Jesus died to make possible for us. Jesus is the answer to our broken human hearts because Jesus went to the cross to show us his own heart and to make that heart available for us. On the cross, God was prepared to experience all the envy and the hurt and the violence and the power of our own human nature and yet still love us. And he goes on loving us and inviting us to find true life in him, a life centered on God and a heart that is his own heart. So how do we respond then this Remembrance Sunday? James continues, wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. May this Remembrance Sunday remind us then that we are all fallen people. And let us remember, as we think about all of the wars and conflicts, both in our world and in our own lives, that we all need God's forgiveness and mercy. And yes, let there be tears and sorrow and grief and lament for the way that our world has been, for the way that we have been. Let us humble ourselves before God and let us pledge to submit to his way for our lives, for his heart. And let us remember and rejoice that Jesus made possible for us a different way, a new style of living, a new heart. And that way, and that heart, is found only through the power and the grace and the love of God. As we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. So let us pray that, and let us desire that, not only for ourselves, but for our communities and our nation and for our world. Amen.
Today is the Sunday before the 11th of November. It's traditionally the day when we remember in church all those things that we feel we should remember on Remembrance Day. You will have different reasons for remembering. Maybe someone very dear to you has lost in war or in bringing peace. In my case, my father volunteered for the Durham Light Infantry in 1917 and subsequently, and we learned later, went to Passchendaele and Cambrai. In a moment, we're going to hear the last post. That will be followed by a 2-minute silence. And after that, the bugle call Reveille. I would invite you, during that time of silence, to remain wherever you are and keep silent for that 2 minutes.
Thank you.
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. And from the memorial at Kohima in India, when you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in your grace and mercy, deliver us. By your example and teaching, by your passion and death, by your victory over the grave, deliver us. From the desire of power, from the conspiracy of silence, from the worship of weapons, from coveting what we do not have, deliver us. From the peace that is no peace, from the security that is no security, from the politics of terror, from the despair of this age, deliver us. By the light of the gospel, by your healing of the nations, by hunger and thirst for justice, and by the coming of your kingdom, deliver us. Amen.
Let us pray for all who suffer as a result of conflict, and ask that God may give us peace. For service men and women who have died in the violence of war, each one remembered by and known by God. May God give us peace.
God give peace.
For those who love them in death as in life, comfort them in their distress and the sadness of their loss. May God give peace.
God give peace.
For all members of the armed forces who are in danger this day, remembering family, friends, and all who pray for their safe return, may God give peace.
God give peace.
For civilian women, children, and men whose lives are scarred by war, for all affected by the anger and hatred of humankind, may God give peace.
God give peace.
For peacemakers and peacekeepers who seek to keep this world secure and free, may God give peace.
God give peace.
For all who bear the burden and privilege of leadership, political, military and religious, asking for gifts of wisdom and resolve in the search for reconciliation and peace. May refugees who have fled conflict be welcomed into the countries they seek refuge, rather than facing hate and indifference. May God give peace.
God give peace. O God of truth and justice, we hold before you those whose memory we cherish and those whose names we will never know. Help us to lift our eyes above the torment of this broken world, and grant us the grace to pray for those who wish us harm. As we honour the past, may we put our faith in your future, for you are the source of life and hope, now and forever. Amen.
Our time is nearly at an end. And as we go from this service, let us be aware of how much we all need God's grace and forgiveness. Let us pledge to submit to God and to seek his heart. Let us be thankful for the sacrifices that others have made so that we can know peace. And let us too be thankful for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us all to know eternal peace, and for the way that he showed us how to live a life of peace. Let us commit ourselves to striving for all that makes for peace, and to healing the wounds of war and conflict wherever it shows itself. And let us commit to work for a just future for all humanity, and to live lives of justice, compassion, and mercy. Let's pray. God, as we go from here, send us out to be beacons of peace in a dark world of conflict. Make us instruments of peace for whoever we meet and wherever we go. For we pray in the name of the Prince of Peace, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to finish now by listening to a song I know that you've all heard before. It's a collaboration of churches all across the UK praying a blessing on us all and asking that God gives us his peace.
The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and keep